Lord, we thank you for this year you've given us, the year of life, hope, love, changed lives here and around the world in many parts, the men, the women, the faithful people raised up by your Spirit, given us living hope. Thank you for our focus and hitting the target, the big target, the right target in life. Every one of us, we're unworthy, but we have found the right target in your Son and love it. We pray, Lord, in our service tonight that we know that lives are, we are meditating, digesting, believing, thinking, hurting. Some are feeling helpless, struggle. We care. You care. We are here to love and build up and hit the right target in life. 2015 and now 2016. We thank you for this amazing work of grace with changed lives. Thank you, Lord. Heal someone here tonight or many. Heal in the soul, in the mind, in the body. Heal in the spirit, a wounded spirit who can bear. Oh, yes, a wounded spirit. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. Bless these thoughts in Christ's name. Amen. Wow, what a joy to be here tonight. And hallelujah. Wow, we're going to have a good time here. We have Yoda. He's a Star Wars character. He's going to be here in the second half. That's Pastor Love. We have Changed Lives testimonies from different parts of the world. You heard one of them from India, and that young lady's testimony. I met her when I was over there, and it's very touching what has happened to her life, as Pastor Devendra shared. I have a couple things. Number one, Americans, 45%, this is on the light side of my message, 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. Most common resolutions made by Americans, 47% resolve to self-improvement, 38% losing weight, 34% money issues, and 31% relationship issues. They make resolutions. Out of 3,000 people polled, 21% made the resolution that this year they would leave their job and find a new one. It's interesting, 75% of those that made promises kept those promises for 1 week. After 6 months, 46% were still keeping it, and at the end of the year, 8% kept their resolution for the whole year. Well, with this in mind, I'd like to share with you this word on the word hope. Turn with me, please, to Romans 8. And explain to you as best I can how we have been called to something extremely profound and very deep. I think resolutions have their place in our lives, but personally I don't make them, but instead, and I'm sure you agree with me, that we are really seeking something that is a lot bigger than just losing weight. Well, losing weight is a great idea for you know, that whatever, that's fine, and the other things that we think about. But I want you to think with me about something really powerful and very important to all of us. And so I want to use an illustration after we read these verses here, Romans 8 and we verse 24. For we are saved by hope. And this is practical, real, everyday living. Hope is a very important word for us. Many times we don't realize it because we are living in it and it's part of our attitude and our life. But it isn't easy for everybody, and it's not easy for everybody all the time. But hope that is seen is not hope. If you see it, it's not hope. But when you have hope and you cannot see it, verse 24, but hope that is seen is not hope, but what a man sees, why does he yet hope? Why does he yet hope for? Verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now the illustration, and thanks for your, you know, listening and thinking with me about this. I don't want to get bogged down, but just hit some very relevant points tonight. I'd like you to turn to Judges chapter 2 and read this short, very simple story that I want to use to illustrate life for us. This is in chapter 1 and verse 22. The house of Joseph sent to decry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. I've read that that word means twisted. Bethel means house of God. It once was twisted, the city, we can say the city, the name of the city, and the Jewish people that went into the promised land wanted to take a hold of the city. But they couldn't find a way into the city, so I'd like to just to draw this as a sketch here. Here's the city, but they couldn't find the way in. And I'd like to suggest the road going this way, getting close to the city and missing. And we can say hope would like to get into the city. There are people that are hoping for things but actually cannot find the way into the city. It's a secret passageway, let's say underground. I'm making this part up. Underground, they found a man that knew the way into the city. Look at verse 24. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city. They said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show you mercy. How do you get in? Let's park there for a second. How do you get into the city? Well, what does a city represent? I want to use it to illustrate your life and my life. I'd like you to think about our lives and the big picture of our lives, problems that we have in our life, good things that happen in our life, challenges in our lives. The house of God can easily become twisted, and that has happened to me. It's happened to you. It has happened to all of us. How do I get in to the city? This was what the Jews were looking for. And I like to think that every one of us have this question in our lives, and that is how to get in, how to find the real answer, how to really solve or find the solution or resolve what it is that I am faced with. Sometimes, well, we could say the book of Job. Let's say, actually, it's easy. Job and Abraham, two examples of people that easily could have missed what life was about for each of them. Job lost his family, lost his home, lost his livelihood. He lost his way. We could say helpless, wounded. He said in Job 6:4, "The arrows of the Almighty have poisoned my spirit." What a profound verse. Maybe that would happen to me last year, 2015, or maybe in the coming year. Maybe I had an expectation or a hope in my life. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. This is Proverbs 13:12. I thought I would have a great life, but I didn't get it. I thought I would have the answer, but I couldn't find it. I thought I would have a great marriage, but somehow it didn't work out that way for me. So I am sick in my heart. I want to emphasize that. This happens to people. It's sad when the thing I hope for doesn't happen. Because these are, we can say these are false hopes. Someone would say, you know what I've been hoping for is a great life. Where is it? Or more ridiculously, I was hoping to win the lottery. It hasn't happened. Or I hoped I would get married. Or I wish that I had not gotten married. There are many ideas that we have that are a part of everyday life. But I want to challenge you tonight. Find the way into the city. Get into the city. Let's put in here, in the generation that we live in, what is the password to get us in? How can we get in there? Where? In this place where there is hope. And it's very, very interesting because when you get in there, you have found a new kind of hope. When you get in that place where God is, because 1 Timothy 1:1, Jesus Christ is our hope. This is amazing. How do I get in there? How do I find that password? How do I get into the heart of God? How do I find my way? I believe this is what we all have found and long for in 2016. I would like to know how I can get in there and there's a connection. We could say when you are in, this is the hope. This is where you end up living in a living hope. If you can follow that with me. Do we make New Year's resolutions? Maybe that's your business. I have no problem with that. You can do however you want to. Maybe it will help you. Maybe it's a good, something challenge. I believe we are made for challenges. I would like you to think with me about this big challenge tonight. That I will, this coming year, get into that city. I will come this coming year, get into that place. I will this coming year find the way in. I will this coming year find out what life is really all about. I will this coming year find the name of God. I will, lousy marriage, I will this coming year have a living hope. Marriage or no marriage, health or no health, on the edge, in the brink of death, or some other terrible, and I don't say it lightly, and I think it's beyond all of us. I do. But we have seen our sisters and brothers get in to that city and take it and say, I am alive once again. I am alive. I am not helpless. I have visited. I have found. I have sensed it. I got it. Many illustrations of the principle. Let's use Job. Let's do that just by words. Job, in his trial, found Christ. Christ found Job, and he said in the heat of his trial, Job 13, verse 20, though he slay me, I will trust him. Job 19:27, I know my Redeemer liveth, that in the latter day, though, listen to this, though the worms eat my body, I know that in the latter day I will stand upon the earth in my flesh, and I will see my Redeemer, for my Redeemer lives. He got into the city. And I'm afraid that there are many believers as well that have these routes. They don't get in. They have false hopes. They also have false teaching. I remember reading about a woman who was told, you take the Bible, you make a take a Bible verse, you claim it, you go to the car lot where they have the new Lincoln Continentals, and you lay your hands on the fender, and you make your claim on your vehicle, and you claim it, and then you sign the papers, and you make the deal, and then you live the rest of your life in financial poverty. You bought a car, you felt God was giving it to you, because you were making a claim, imagining and having a picture of the car in your refrigerator for weeks and months, and believing and hoping and expecting. Well, that's very normal or natural or understandable. I understand it. But it's tonight, what I'm trying to say is that there's something here. And the Lord is saying, oh, no, it's not a magic, mystical speech or magic pill. Or some believers think they read their Bible 5 minutes in the morning and they'll have a blessed day. They stick it on. 5 minutes of Bible reading and there it is. I'm good to go. God will bless me because of the word. Well, we must find something more here. It's not easy. I like that. It takes, in the words of Jesus, all our heart, mind, soul, strength. It's the new birth. It's the Holy Spirit leading us. It's doctrinal thinking. It's seeking for real answers. It's saying in our heart, God, I don't want to, if my heart is sick, then there must be something missing. And in the Psalms we read that can happen. But the psalmist also said that he would seek after him. And he said, God, don't let me be ashamed. And that I have hoped in your word. Psalm 119:49. And great peace have they that love your word. Nothing will offend them. Not even lost jobs or sick bodies or disappointed relationships. Go with me now to Abraham, please, chapter 4. In verse, Romans 4, did I say that? What did I say? I'm sorry. What? Abraham 4? Oh, okay. Well, that's not as bad as it could have been, so it's okay. Okay, so Romans 4, Abraham chapter 4, okay. Chapter 4, verse 18. Here's the story. Abraham, and he's an old man. God told him, you're going to have a child, remember? Did he have hope? He had faith, he had hope, he had charity, but to be honest, there was a time when he couldn't believe it. His wife couldn't believe it either. She counseled him to go with Hagar, and that he did. But somehow after the visitation of God to his tent in Genesis 18, that was chapter 16, but in 18, there's something that happened to Abraham. He believed. Look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Listen, here is very easy. Abraham comes this way in life. I'm going to have a son. He's walking this way. I'm going to have a son. He goes in the way, but he can't get into the city. He cannot find the answer. I am now 78 years old. Where is my son? How could that be? God has not given me the son. I am now 84 years old. Where is my son? I am now 92 years old. Where is my son? Where is the woman that could bear the son? And that's Sarah. How could that be? She's past age as well. So how can this be? This is the way it is in life. Do you see it? Yes, I think it is like that. And it would be easy to say it's not working. Yeah, why is it like this? There are people that believe that way in their life regarding Christianity. They say, I tried it. They went in a way like this. They go into a house like this. They go, I'm going into the city. They go into a house and they're stuck here. And it's not the house. That's not the house. So they get sick in their heart. I tried it. The alcohol is still a problem. I tried it. The depression is still there. I tried it. I still feel helpless. I tried it. Where is God? Where is God after all? I was reading about atheists, the famous atheists, Bertrand Russell, a number of them that were hurt by either their parents. I think in this particular piece, it was their parents were Christians, and they found, in my explanation here tonight, shortly and abbreviated, as they got into this Christianity, they found it, their heart was sick, and they rebelled against it and became rabid atheists. Okay, why didn't it happen to Abraham? Why didn't it happen to Job? Why didn't it happen to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? As they were sad and talking about the death of Christ, what happened to change them? Christ came along and spoke to the two disciples, and he opened up this book. But I don't think you can just open up the book and it solves everything. I think there is something deep and searching and something that God keeps back from us. And we need to find a way into the city because we cannot find it by ourselves.
I think there's something about it that is so incredibly mystical, powerful. And I believe, and we know, that is what Abraham found. He found a hope, we could say this way, a living hope that matched the hope he had when he was outside the house. He's saying, I hope I have a son. I hope I have, I cannot see it, but I hope I have a son. But maybe I won't have, but God said I will have. Did God say I will have? God said I will. Well, what did he say up to us? Really, what has God said to us about this coming year? What is God? This is a living hope where there is an answer. And the answer, there's four things I'd like you to see. God, heaven, other people, and yourself. Let me say, explain this. When I have a New Year's resolution for my own life, that's not a wrong thing, as I've said. And I think those challenges can be good. But there is something more about your life than just losing weight, and it is, or saving money, or reading the Bible. Like I could say, I'm going to read the Bible through this year. Great idea. But then there is something that can happen in the course of the year. There are mystical things about life that you can't package. There are things that I may not be able to see it happen. But when we find the way into this, we find something beautiful in there, and it is God's way. God says all things work together for good. God says your life glorifies me. God says that your life will be judged at the Bema seat, that's heaven. Paul said the things that have happened to me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. And then also we know how blessed we are in our own lives because we get to know God. This is what we have in a living hope. This is what we have in our life this coming year. In other words, it's more universal than just something that I think about regarding myself. Maybe my trouble is good for me. And I can accept it. If we interviewed Job, Job would say, yeah, you know what happened to me? I didn't plan it. I didn't want it that way. But I found out when I got into the city that my life glorified God. I found out when I got into the city that my life was for others. I found out when I got into the city that other people were involved in my life. And my life brought a blessing into the world. And I didn't want the suffering, but I found another way of looking at it. I found a living hope. And it was just what I thought, that the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is coming. That's what I saw. You see, I saw more universally what my life is about. I realized more about life. Pastor Mickey Costum gave me a book by about this man. His name was this spelled this way, Z-V-I. He was a Polish Holocaust survivor who went to Israel, I think in 1948. And he was Jewish, Polish, and went there to have a new life. And he became a believer. And he was a Israeli soldier walking in the streets of Jerusalem one night. And he saw these men with black clothes coming toward him. And his duty was to stop them and ask what they were doing. And they were Jewish, Orthodox Jews going to the Wailing Wall at 3 a.m. to pray. And so he stopped them and he said, where are you going? And they answered. And then he said, are you waiting for the Messiah? And they said, yes, we're praying for the Messiah. And he said, where is he? And they said, he is here. And he said, yes, he is. And he said, he is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in Hebrew. And they were amazed that this man talked. They talked till 6 o'clock in the morning. And this Israeli soldier, this born-again believer, very boldly all the time in Israel, has been sharing his life with people. This is the kind of hope that we live in. Because our life is, we got in. We got the password. We got in. We see. Why wouldn't I share my faith this coming year? Why wouldn't I pray and believe that God will do awesome things? Because this is the nature of God. But it may not be packaged my way. None of us know what tomorrow will bring. But we know that we have hope. You know, this is, because when you hit the target, it's not fun when you end up in a little house here somewhere wondering what's going on, or the road goes this way and misses the city, and you can't find your way in there. Let's close with this. How do you get in? How do you get in there? How does it happen? How do we find it? I don't know. I know, but it's a fantastic question. It's amazing. I don't think we can ever walk around and say, I got it mastered. I got it always figured out. God will throw a curveball. God will say, God will show me, and I will find. And I don't mind admitting, Lord, I am hurting. I am helpless. I am empty. I want to find my way in. And what is the password? How can I get in there? Because I know that you did not make me to destroy me and make my heart sick and disappoint me all the time, all my life. I can see it. We can see it in the psychologically in the lives of people that live in depression. They feel there's no way out. And if you've never been there, it is horrible. It is paralyzing. It is terrible. And for a believer to go and just give some Bible verses and say, what's wrong with you? Why can't you get your, how come you're not happy? How come you don't get it? I don't think we can do that. I think we have to identify, pray, love, be patient, encourage, and for yourself, have some roots in yourself and find the presence of Christ restore you and heal you and love you. And then you have hope. And when you counsel somebody without hope, your hope comes through your vessels, your blood vessels, your skin. It comes through your heart. Your love comes through you. And you don't have like a mechanical method that's packaged. Be careful that. That might be just one of these roads that lead you off and you never really get in there. I don't know about those. I'm so happy in the roots of our ministry, Dr. Stevens, by grace of God, avoided those mechanical packaged solutions to life. Instead, it was more of, I don't know, but I know that God is able. I don't have an answer in that sense, but I have a life. We love you. We have body life. We love each other. We cannot figure it out. We have a living hope. We have encouraged Abraham. He says that he had the hope in his old age. How can you be 100 years old with a woman 90 years old and believe and have hope and know this will happen, that you will have a child? That's impossible. But you could have a hope in a lousy life That's what I'm saying. Lousy, crazy, terrible, poisoned, discouraged, empty, horrible. Oh, because we're talking about Christ. Put Christ in there. There's hope that changes the face and the heart and the words, the attitude, the future. I have hope. A man sitting in a prison cell, like the Apostle Paul, writing epistles, hope permeating through, just saturated, hope. I know that the things that have fallen out into me have actually fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. How could you say that? Because I am not interpreting my life narrowly. Just look at a little sketch. Just me and my life, my way. It was me and my life, my way, I would be without hope. But if it's me in Him and I have these elements in my life, God, the Bema seat, other people, and my new self in Christ, who I am in Him, then I have a living hope. No matter what happens to us, we have a living hope. No matter what this year brings to us, and I hope it is a blessed year in every way, way above and beyond all kinds of we. Not only will we prosper in our soul, but in our bodies too, our businesses and our families. I'm praying and believing that it's a year of church planning. That's my vision for the year, church planning. Wilmington, Delaware is our new one. And Laurel, Maryland is happening. And also Federal Hill is happening. And the desire to have 10 or 15 new churches in Pennsylvania and to do New Jersey. We're too thin in New Jersey. We need some cities in New Jersey and churches in New Jersey. And let's do it. Let's have vision. Let's have it because we have a living hope. I mean, this hope is not fabricated by us. This is a hope that God has imparted to us. It's in the city. And when you get in that passageway and you find your way into the city, you go, we made it in. What is in here? All of God, all of His promises, all the keys, all the solutions, the clarity of the thought, the power of decision making, the attitude towards life, even death. Where is your sting, grave? Where is your victory? Young men having hope in regards to the ministry. Young ladies having hope in regards. All of us, the middle-aged folks and the older folks, living in a living hope. This is a hope that came from God. Not from probability, but from guarantees. This is a biblical word, and it means a guarantee. It's not like the human word that we have for hope, which is probability. Let's put it down and we'll finish up. Hope in the human way is 95%, 2%. It's all probability. Maybe 100% it may happen, but God's hope is 100%. It's 100% guaranteed. But we cannot see it. That's why it's called hope. But it's just as sure as tootin', guaranteed. It's just as sure as if reality itself. It is just guaranteed. It is sure. It is a guarantee that we've got it. Abraham is saying, I got a son, and I don't have one. But I have a son, guaranteed. That's a living hope. A God in the city kind, where I got it. And may we find our way into this city, this book, and find who we are. Get in there. Find the password into this book and get in there and see it, realize it, embrace it, and live with it all of our lives. If you want to make New Year's resolution, go ahead. God bless you. But we have something that's a lot more sure. Make those, that's fine. But we have something where God is saying, I have called you. I have invited you in. It's not an easy way. You cannot find it on your own. I counsel you to be part of the local assembly. I counsel you to walk in the Spirit. I counsel you to believe and trust me. I counsel you to have ears to hear. I counsel you to go to the Bible on your own and listen to what I have to say to you. I will give you words. I will counsel you. I counsel you to believe me and embrace me with all your heart. I counsel you in the morning to trust in me in your heart. And as you go about your day, and to believe me and trust me. And in the time of temptation, I counsel you to trust me above your own hormones, your own inclinations, your own temperament, your own personality, your own culture, and your own background. I counsel you to trust me. I'll make a way for you. You'll get in the city, and you'll have a living hope there. And you'll say that I did not fail you. But you'll say with all your heart, he showed up. He did it. He's restored me. He has healed me. He's encouraged me. I have it. You may not see it, but I got it. I believe it. I know it. It's in my heart. Jesus has visited me. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you for these thoughts tonight. God, we're sorry for people that have gotten sidetracked, denying reality, built their lives on false premises. We are sorry for people who've been misled, but may they return and find the password, the secret, where God never lets us down. I know my Redeemer liveth. Job said it in the heat of his trial. Abraham, without a son, said, I know God has given me a son. Christ on the cross, I know that in 3 days, I know us. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, I know what has happened to me. I know. And then we say, we know all things work together for good. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for this year. Would you pray with me now for this year? Jesus, thank you. God, in finding the way, that secret passageway, Lord, and showing us how to minister to others, showing us how to live and walk in this unique way. Thank you, Lord. And then planting churches, Lord. This is the year of planting churches, of young men getting in a car, staying in one city, going at it, getting in a coffee house, having Bible study, sowing the seed. This is the year of our church growing and increasing. And then worldwide, it's in your hands because we have a living hope for it. In Christ's name. Amen. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus in your life, we invite you to come to Christ by faith. Say to Jesus, I come to you by faith. I trust you. Save me. I believe in you. Take my sin away. Wash it away by your blood. Save me tonight by your grace. I believe in you. I'm born again tonight. I'm God's child tonight. My name is in the book of life tonight. Because I'm believing in you. This is true biblically. It's for whosoever believes. Maybe you're the greatest sinner in Baltimore City. I hope if that is the case, we are so glad you're here. Would you say to Christ, I believe, then all your sins are washed away, and you're God's child. You're God's son, God's daughter. Thank you, Lord.